heck of a game for Alexander Ovechkin.
It was a great game for him. He had I didn't see what the final number was because Nick was too busy jumping up and down because we weren't going to overtime. But we had 11. He had 11 shot attempts after two periods. He was all over the ice. You know, against the Islanders, he was looking for hits all series because it was just a punishing seven games. Last night, he wasn't really looking for hits. He was looking for shots. And it shows, I don't know, maybe since Eric Lindros, if there's been somebody who can affect the game both as a scorer and a hitter, as Alexander Ovechkin can when he's motivated to do that. And we're seeing all of that in the playoffs. He was tremendous, but you know, who would have thought the biggest hit in the game last night would have been thrown by Nicklas Backstrom?
Yeah.
Was that a clean play, Elliot?
You know, it's funny. Initially, I looked at it and I said, ooh, like this, George, what I think the referees are sitting there thinking is, okay, the puck's in the corner, or this is not going in, and we don't want to give New York a full two-minute power play at the start of overtime. And they're like, oh, as they see it going at the end of the game. But the more I watched it, and both Kipper and Kelly thought it was clean because he didn't hit him in the numbers. They felt that Boyle put himself in a bad spot, and you know he didn't charge, he glided, and he didn't hit him in the numbers. He kind of got him on the side. So they had no problem with it. And the one thing I do agree is that Boyle just thought he was going to pin it against the boards and just kind of sat there. So the pros didn't think it was dirty. I thought it was close. But, you know, when the guys who play say they have no problem with that, I guess I don't either.
Elliot Friedman joins us, NHL Insider on Sportsnet. Playoff Insider brought to you by Certified Pre-Owned Audi. They're not just ready, they're Audi ready. What's the latest on Mike Babcock? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, he's going to meet with Ken Holland this morning, and they're going to have a conversation, I guess. What I think the Red Wings are going to say to him is, look, we need to know by such and such a day, are you coming back? And, you know, if you saw Ken Holland's quotes yesterday, he wants Mike Babcock back, but I think they're going to have to know by a certain time. We're going to, you know, everybody here is kind of waiting to see what Babcock's choices are, and yes, they have him under contract until June 30th, but I don't think Detroit wants to wait that long, and I don't think the rest of the NHL does either. So I can see them saying to him, you know, you've earned the right to take some time. Unless he walks in and says, I don't want to coach this team anymore, they're going to say, you've earned the right to say, take some time, but we're going to need to know by such and such a date. And that's what I guess is going to happen today.
Is there any truth to the rumor that I heard the other day about it being about $6.5 million per year over 6 years? Actually, the number turns out to be a little devilish, $6.66 million over 6 years.
Well, it is quite devilish.
Isn't it?
The only thing is that, Dean, the economics of that don't make sense to me in the sense that the people in the NHL who make $6.66 million, I mean, aside from the players, are like the commissioner and the deputy commissioner. Like, coaches don't make that. GMs don't make that. Like, Shanahan's salary in Toronto is believed to be 5 years, $12.5 million. So I don't know how anybody is going to say that Babcock's going to make $6.66 million. I don't see that number by NHL economics. I think it's high.
Elliot, when Dean broke that story yesterday from his source, did you feel like he was cutting your grass?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a problem with that.
Okay, yeah, we're just
a
checking.
Good line, Russick, though. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. He likened me to a John Deere parked in front of your house the other day. There's no way I'm an insider, that's for sure. But it was interesting, and you know, it kind of. I was thinking about this yesterday. If let's just say for argument's sake that Mike Babcock is interested in coming to Toronto,
mm-hmm.
would it need to be a bigger number than, let's say, if he was interested in going to Philadelphia? And would it make a difference to a guy like Mike Babcock?
Well, I think Mike Babcock is interested in two things. Number one, he wants to raise the bar on coaches' salaries, so it's going to be a big number. There's no question about that. But I look at Toronto, and the one thing about Babcock is he likes to win. You know, any time a guy loses a game seven and stands in front of the media and says, look, my best players are 34, 35, and 37. You know, who's going to replace them? He is telling you that he is not sure the Detroit Red Wings are built to win, you know, once these guys, you know, start to retire or their effectiveness diminishes. And to me, that is the essence of Babcock. Yes, he wants to get paid. Who doesn't? But he wants to win. It's in his DNA. It's who he is. He cannot stand to lose. I don't see, to me, the match is difficult to see, Dean and George, because this team is not going to win for a few years. I don't know if he can come here and put up with us and all of our questions and lose. That's what I see as the biggest obstacle, and I would be surprised if he ends up here simply because I don't think he's a guy who's built to lose for 3 or 4 years.
Ellie, looking ahead to game one tonight between the Habs and Lightning, 7 o'clock on the CBC. Can Ben Bishop get it done for Tampa Bay? Because he definitely had an uneven series there against against Detroit. I totally had a brain cramp there.
It's okay. We all have.
Yeah,
we've been drinking heavily already getting ready for the weekend, Elliot.
Having trouble getting the car out of the garage.
Yeah, and man.
When we do that on the set, you know, the Kelly or Nick or George will look at me and say, couldn't get the car out of the garage there, could
no,
you?
No, I definitely
couldn't. How many times do you say that to Nick a day?
Nick, how many minutes are there in the day?
Yeah.
About that. No, you know, the thing is, he was big when it counted in game 7. Mm. You know, that was a game that you looked at after 2 periods and you said, Tampa's not going to win this. And he made a huge save off Zetterberg at one point. They kept it scoreless. You know, he was big when it mattered. But, you know, the thing is, you're going against a guy here who's going to be the MVP of the league. And that decreases your chances of making errors. The one thing I would say about Tampa is this is a lot more on their scores than it is on Ben Bishop. You cannot beat Carey Price from the perimeter. And one player who was watching the Ottawa series looked at the way Ottawa played and they said, look, this all looks nice because they're getting shots and they're coming at Montreal. But when you're playing against Carey Price, you cannot shoot to score from the outside. You have to shoot for the rebounds and crash the net and get them. And so that's the way Tampa's going to have to be. Tampa's, you know, a team that likes to move side to side. They do a great job of going east-west in the regular season. It's hard to do that in the playoffs, especially against Montreal, a team that does a real good job of protecting the middle. They're going to have to go in more straight lines, and they're going to have to crash the net and get rebounds because you're not going to beat Carey Price any other way.
Ellie, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just a yes or no question, Ellie, because we've definitely got to go. Is Stamkos healthy?
Yes.
Okay.
He just sucked.
He, you know what? I've never seen him look like that before. Yeah. He normally loves the game. He was tense.